It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good news potentially for us for Sunday night. We will tell you what that is. And look, we don't wish injury upon anybody, but hey, nobody's feeling sorry for us in our injury situation. Speaking of injuries, Day-Day, Mike, we were just talking about it. We're live at Flowery Branch, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios. Raheem Morris is going to join us coming up a little bit later this hour. Stay tuned for that. And we're going to talk with Divine Diablo as well, who had a really good game Sunday and is finding his comfort level, that is, with the Falcons defense. We were just talking about, the fact that when we talk about this team, and we're talking about going up against the Vikings on Sunday, Drake London is on the field. And there is some footage from various reporters that we know, whether it be D. Orlando Ledbetter, our own Joe Patrick, but because everybody wants to see what he looks like.
Right.
Oh, he's running around. And I jokingly said to the guys here, I was like, yeah, AC joint, because nobody's hitting him.
Yeah, Darnell Mooney was running around last week, too.
Right.
Yeah, midweek.
So I'm not going to take too much from that. I'm glad he's out here. It does trend towards him potentially playing, with him being at practice. Again, it's Wednesday. Mike, if he missed today and then tomorrow, I'd be even more concerned. So him being out there is good. But him running around, and I don't know if that means anything. Meanwhile, Vikings linebacker situation is in jeopardy. Linebacker Blake Cashman has a hamstring. He is out a few weeks. He is a starter. Linebacker Andrew Van Ginkel is in concussion protocol. The Vikings, according to Ian Rappaport, could be without two of their guys for Sunday night. Again, concussion protocol, guys, you know this.
You know it. Once you're in, it's rare you're going to see, especially a guy that was a Monday night game, too.
So you're talking about a hamstring with one guy, concussion protocol with Van Ginkel. That's a big deal. And I only bring this up to say, we talk about we didn't run the ball well. Okay,
right.
Mike, let's challenge these new guys. They're going to be in there trying to step up for the guys that are going to be out potentially for the Vikings. Don't know if that's going to be for sure, but it sure seems like it.
Let's get it going, man. Let's get Bijan trucking. And I thought a lot of fans mentioned, Tyler Algier. You want to see more Tyler Algier in specific short yardage? Isn't that where he needs to be? And I don't want him in the pistol.
What was the play, though? What was the play? They ran Bijan, and then we didn't get it. And it was like the next series or maybe two, same play. They put Tyler in there. We end up getting the first down.
Right. But I don't like. But I still would love to see. I know you're not going to reinvent the wheel with your offense. It's the pistol. For those that understand, that means the quarterbacks and the shotgun running backs right next to him. I'd love to see them sometimes use Warner or whoever you feel another big tight end we talked about, and get somebody in the I formation, Carl. Matter of fact, call Ovie Mahaley. Let's go get that yard.
The way he looks, he can still block.
And I know that with Penix Jr., we'll see. I'm trying to think off the top of my head in these first four games he's played, quarterback sneaks with him. And is that something which they want to stray away from? Because he does have a natural athleticism, because of the history with the knees. But still, I mean, you need a yard, your quarterback can go get it for you.
Yeah.
I just hate being off the ball when all you need
is short yardage.
And those, in some cases, less than a yard, and you're putting the ball in the hands of somebody 5 yards behind the line.
Yeah. Look, maybe that's another question we could get to as far as trying to understand the thinking there. And by the way, Zach Robinson's not the only OC doing that. There's a lot of OCs that are doing it.
And I think
one team that's running the tush push.
Right. And it drives me crazy in college and pro, when you see some of it. But that is the way of the world.
Got to get to what's going on around the NFL. As we mentioned, our conversation with Raheem Morris is on the way. Stay right there. We'd love to hear from you guys. Chime in at 404-726-0929. That's our text line as well. Right now, though, let's get to 4th and 1. Cowboys trying to bring in an old head. Well, his career got revitalized when he went to the Ravens. And
Big Chuck Smith, Joe.
He did, and then he got him paid. We're talking about Jadeveon Clowney. Now, for years, people have asked me, all right, because I saw Jadeveon get drafted, and he's never been what you thought he was going to be as a number one overall pick. Very good player, just not a game changer. And you say, Dukes, do you guys want Jadeveon Clowney here in Atlanta? For years, I've told Mike, no, but he's a free agent. Cowboys today are meeting with him, per league sources. Josina Anderson reporting that. Don't know if anything comes of it, Mike, but Isn't it kind of ironic? Yeah, I'm not paying you. We'll go ahead. We're going to go.
Yeah.
Go talk
again, a fraction of the cost. I mean, I literally pennies on the dollar.
Absolutely.
And it's funny. Ever since that hit on Vincent Smith of Michigan in the Outback Bowl, it was almost like it's like when Odell Beckham. They said the worst thing that ever happened was the one-handed catch because you created a monster.
Expectations.
But yeah, in the case of Jay, you said a solid piece. But yeah, just you know, kind of you know, and a good player, and he'll fit a role. He'll get some pressure. But you know, is he going to be Matthew Judon for them like he was for us, or is he going to actually have anything left in the tank?
That's the question. And again, we don't know if they're going to sign him. While we're talking about Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, I want you to hear a couple of things. One about Dak and then Micah's debut, because Micah got a sack in his debut. Vikings head coach just spoke. Kevin O'Connell says Andrew Van Ginkle is in the concussion protocol. He probably will not play Sunday
again, short turnaround from Monday night, albeit Sunday night. But yeah, that's we've seen enough of it. We're not neurologists, but you see, when a guy's in that protocol, it's 99% chance he's not playing.
So Kevin just confirmed he is in the concussion protocol. Very interesting. And we'll see if that changes how we maybe attack this defense moving forward.
And how Flores uses his defense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Here is Jerry. We're talking about what happened with the Cowboys. And of course, they lost to the Eagles. I thought Dak played well. Jerry, what'd you think?
I was pleased with how we played. And I thought that in particular, I thought that Dak had one of the best games that I've seen him play. We all know there's no consolation in a loss, but I felt very strongly that we had a chance to win that game. I felt really, really, really good about the way our offensive line played. I think that bodes well for as we start down this season.
Okay.
Sounds like Jerry's got a cold. Remember that those memes that popped out after the game, pretty funny on Thursday night, where it was like, we're just a one elite defensive player away from winning that football game. That would be irony because obviously Micah Parsons was that guy. But yeah, man. Yeah, Jerry, you believe in Dak, by the way? You believe it?
I mean, I know. Good.
He looked, I think, 100% first time we've seen
correct.
That since he played us in November last year.
Yeah, he didn't look good against us, and then obviously he leaves the game and he's done for the season. Yeah, look, believing in him, they ran the ball better than I thought they would.
But is that a byproduct of Jalen Carter?
It could be. Or maybe look, Mike, they got 3 first-round picks on that offensive line, all named Tyler. That offensive line should be really damn good.
Give the ball to Tyler. That's Algier. But yeah, I heard you say.
So I don't know. I mean, if they play the Eagles again and the Eagles shut them down the 30 yards, then yeah, we can say it was Jalen Carter. But they ran the ball really well. I don't know. I would tell you Dak looked as good as I've seen him look in a few years. Meanwhile, Jerry, what about Micah's debut? He's not with you anymore.
We all interested in that game and how Micah played. Not one thing unexpected for me as to how he played, and he's gotten on a good team up there in Green Bay. We're going to get to have him right here, and we'll get a first-hand look at the entire team, not just Micah. From what I saw of him, I thought he was able to get in there and play without having any influence from his back. And I say that with a straight face, I do. And having said that, wish him well.
Parsons, by the way, listed as questionable for Thursday night's game versus the Commanders. Again, you just heard Jerry talk about the back.
Made a commitment to Michael this spring.
Micah. That's going to continue to be one of those things that looms throughout the course of the season, but he's listed as questionable if you're interested in that game, and we are.
Right. Off the heels of the Thursday night opener, I was waiting for an A.J. Brown meltdown in 3-2-1. They're going to avoid that. Sirianni getting questions this week at Eagles practice. Eagles plan to get more than one target this week for A.J. Brown.
I hope
so. For those who don't remember, with Saquon Barkley having a historic year last year, needless to say, no reason to be throwing it to A.J., you know, 10 targets a game. And then, of course, A.J. started reading books on the sideline. But they say that concerted effort there. And back to the Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb's got to catch the ball, too, when it's in his hands.
Oh, big time. I mean, he had some big drops. Real quick, want to tell you guys, and I know sometimes guys come in and out of this organization and you go, he wasn't any good. Nate Landman was named Defensive Player of the Week. And Nate was here with us the last couple of seasons. And I thought he was a great run stopper. But really brought the hat, was a good tackler. But he's playing with the Rams now. And if you missed this over the weekend, saved the game for the Rams, really. That was a tight fought ball game. Texans-Rams gets a strip. At the end of the game, they recover. Rams end up going on and winning. But Nate Landman was a guy, Mike, that we moved on from. And ironically, a guy we're going to talk to in Diablo, in Divine Diablo,
right,
is faster and is more versatile. But Nate Landman has found a place, man, and he was a Falcon. It's funny because you go, well, how good are these guys? Guys land in different places, and congratulations.
Well, I mean, like the Lion from Zimbabwe, you know, where his father played rugby and all that. We had an interview with him a couple of times last year. Good dude, but also now playing with Braden Fisk and Jared Verse and that amazing defense. So, I mean, I do think, you know, rising tide, you know, helped his ship up last week, but he certainly has, he's a fighter. I think the argument for the Falcons was not as athletic as what you're getting with Divine Diablo coming in.
So that was NFC. You know who the AFC Defensive Player of the Week was? Foye Oluokun. You remember Foye Oluokun?
Yes, Foye. Now, again, great job by Dimitroff to find a diamond in the rough, and we didn't have enough money because of Matt and Julio.
Yeah, it's true.
Just like for Devondre Campbell.
It's true. And then he went down there and got paid. But it's just funny as Falcon fans when you go, hey, I know that name. Yeah, Foye was here.
But that's the same thing when we talk about, and the only reason I bring it up is that's where the Cowboys are at. That's why Micah Parsons didn't get paid. That's why you had to have a come-to-Jesus moment. Do I believe in Dak Prescott? Do I give him $60 million a year? Or do I just go find a new quarterback in the draft and maybe take a step back for a year? Because that's where we were at the end. We developed, and it's ironic, we always talk about, you know, Dimitroff hit or miss, developed a couple of really good young players as fourth and fifth round picks, Carl, right?
Yeah.
You can't keep them.
No, you can't. It's hard.
And there's talent just walking out the door.
It is.
Got the money.
It is. 404-726-0929. Wanted to mention that. That's not rubbing salt in our wound, guys. It's just simply stating that guys leave here. And
Falcons alumni.
That's right. When we think they're not as good as we think, they end up going all other places and having success.
Charlie Warner ran into Drake London down the line of scrimmage. I think Drake was like, whoa, where are you going, man? That happened in our game. But earlier this last week on Friday night down in Brazil, Travis Kelce smashes into wide receiver Xavier Worthy out of Texas, and now he's banged up. He's got a shoulder injury. In an interview, Kelce saying, I've got to do better on that. And he goes, I'm supposed to be running my route at depth for Worthy. So it's frustrating for me. So basically saying, I was trying to kind of set up my guy to be able to get in a position. I just got to be better. So he's owning it after 13 years in the league. That was a rookie mistake by Kelce taking out his own teammate.
Imagine it like airspace, guys. Everybody can't be in the same airspace. When you're running these routes, one's higher, one's lower. And he screwed up. And now Xavier Worthy's out. They're without three of their top wide receivers right now. You talk about the Chiefs.
Right. Doesn't it always seem that way with them?
It does. Rashee Rice is out, obviously. Worthy's the other guy that they thought were going to be, you know, and will be, a big play guy. But I'm curious to see what happens with this Eagles game. What if the Chiefs start 0-2? Everybody going to start jumping off?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, people will say that, you know, because my attitude has always been, you know, everyone's prisoner of the moment off the Super Bowl. Their offensive line was sketchy all year, and then the Eagles finally exploited it. That's what gets me to say, what does it take for the Buffalo Bills to beat these guys? You know what I mean? Or the Ravens to beat these guys when you saw how easily the Eagles dismantled it. Now, the Eagles are built for that kind of game, and now the Eagles' defense doesn't look as dominant. Just 1 week. People say week one is a liar, you know, in some cases.
It's true.
You know? So who do you believe?
Because, like, Miami's going to come back this week, right?
No, their coach is a putz.
Okay.
I have to agree with Sexy Rexy. That coach is a tool.
I have no faith in him either, and I haven't. All right, we're coming back. We'll find out what's on the mind of Day-Day. Coach is going to join us as well. Raheem Morris coming up exclusively here on Sports Radio 92.9.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live at Flowery Branch, it's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, Coach Rod's going to join us. Practice is still ongoing, and once they're done, he'll come in here and sit down and chop it up with us. All things. We'll let you hear from our offensive coordinator today as well, because he spoke, Zach Robinson, and was asked about the pistol. So those questions you've been talking about, he was asked about it. We'll let you hear that coming up. Day-Day, though, what's going on, man? What's happening in your world?
Hey, man, happy Wednesday to everybody out there, man. I want to give a shout-out real quick to the Atlanta Dream. All right, tonight, their final regular season game. With the win tonight, they can at least secure the number 3 seed for the WNBA playoffs, which begin on Sunday. As it stands right now, if they win tonight and the Aces win tonight, is it tonight or tomorrow? It might be tomorrow for the Aces, but they'll end in a tie, but Aces hold the tiebreaker. If they win and Aces lose tomorrow, they'll get the 2 seed. So the other thing is, if they win, they'll be 30-14. This will be their first 30-win season in the franchise history. So just wanted to give them a shout-out real quick as we show love to our local teams as much as we can. So with that being said, Mike Bell, this might be for you.
Okay.
For those who complain about the NBA, saying that there's no offense.
There's no offense.
There's no offense.
Well, that's a stupid three-point shot.
Right. Well, this is exactly why you should watch more women's basketball.
Do I have to? I mean, yes, I want to see this. Tell me more about this,
because
this compelling half court.
No, no, because they actually run offenses.
Okay, it just looks slower like watching high school men's basketball.
Because they're running an offense. If you wanted the NBA to run offenses, guess what? That's probably what you would see, a slower paced game, 70, 80 point maybe, you know, per team type. So I say all that to say, if you want, because believe it or not, when I coach basketball, youth basketball, I make my teams – depending on their age range, I make them watch girls' basketball, women's basketball, because women actually run offenses.
Well, they do say if you're a golfer trying to figure out how to hit a golf ball, watch the women, because they get the perfect swing, and sometimes it's just easier to pick up as far as some of the mechanical stuff as opposed to watching the dude. So I hear you there, but I'll take your word for that. You're running the picket fence? What are you rolling
with? No, I don't give away some secrets. Some of these youth coaches be listening and watching.
Do you have a 1-3-1 with man-to-man principles?
I was thinking about this last night as I was kind of watching what was going on with the standings and everything, and I was like, it's one of the reasons why I like watching women's basketball, because you get to see them actually, again, running offense. Sure, okay, there's no dunking and, you know, with your fast breaks. Every once in a while, you might get a Brittany Griner or one of the taller women to, you know, flush one if they really feel like they can make it happen. But if you really want to see good execution of basketball, I'm telling you, man, women's basketball, I think it's in a great place. I'm not here to talk about Caitlin and all that. I think women's basketball is in a great place, and I think this is the time for you. If you're a basketball fan, trust me, check it out. I think you'll be satisfied with the fact that they actually play basketball.
Okay. Angel Reese, man, all those shots she misses, she's always going to be the rebounding champ.
Well, she may be out of Chicago with the latest that was going on.
She was popping off about the team, and the team didn't like it.
Yeah, she's already removed the moniker. She's removed the moniker of, what does she call herself, the Chicago Barbie or whatever. Yeah, yeah. She's taking that down off of her Twitter. Ooh. All right, so this one was interesting, and this is why everyone doesn't need a vote. So you guys heard of this young lady, Haley Sawyer?
I was talking about this with Carl off the air yesterday. And because anytime I mention a female broadcaster, I generally get some heat for being a sexist, misogynist pig. Well, not all the time. But so I didn't take this on the air, but Carl and I were talking about this. Tell me about this and tell Carl in the audience.
So this young lady, she's an AP voter.
Associated Press vote for the top 25?
Yeah, and she covers USC. The Trojans, but so I'm going to tell you what she did, and we're going to let you hear her explanation, but she moved in her voting, she moved Florida up two spots.
Now, some would say Florida should be out of the top 25 after losing to USF at home.
Well, here's the thing. She didn't even move, at least she didn't even move USF into the rankings.
So she really isn't. She's on the West Coast. Maybe she doesn't follow football east of the Mississippi.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is, but
despite having to vote,
here's her trying to break down and explain her reasoning.
As far as what my votes are and what my process is, you know, I wake up early in the morning after covering a game late in the night before. Don't want to go too much into my progress or process or logic, but I will say I appreciate everybody's interaction on social media and all of your feedback. You know, there's tons of people that vote on the AP poll, and like, it's not a perfect system, but at the end of the day, like, no matter who you pick, it does even out because there's so many people who vote. And like I said, it's really fun for discussion. It doesn't, you know, probably matter in the end, but I'm glad that people are having a really good time with.
No, we're not having a good time with this.
By the way, there's like 63 voters, and like, it's amazing. She's such a wordsmith. And by the way, if you want to be treated as equals, when you do something stupid, whether you're a man or a woman, you get heat. Now, I heard Andy and Randy, they were nonplussed by this story. This stuff does matter. Otherwise, why do we even bother with the top 25?
Exactly.
If you got somebody on the West Coast, you don't even know what the hell she's doing. It's pretty embarrassing to me when I heard this earlier on Andy Rende.
I'll tell you what our process is.
There is no freaking process.
Put some straws in a glass and let me just pull, and the short straw is how I'm going to put down on this piece of paper. I mean, are you serious right now?
By the way, so what is the USC? What is her? I got to go pull up some of her articles. So, like, the Trojans beat UCLA, and, like, the ball was in the air, like, totally forever before it came down. And it was like a touchdown.
She doesn't have any – care, concern in the world, and she is not taking this process seriously.
Seriously, yeah.
And that is the problem, okay? To Mike's point, there are bonuses. There are
for coaches whose team finishes in the top 25.
Absolutely. Like there are so many financial ties to the rankings and, more importantly, how you finish. Now, you're going to say we're early in the season. It doesn't matter. You can't take this process and unrank or not have a team ranked that deserves to be ranked or vice versa and not take a team that just got lost a big game and out of or move them certain slots and not take this process seriously. Let's be honest. She should be fired. She should be out of this job. I'm not saying out of her job.
No, she can cover the Trojans.
She can do that. Yeah. But this voting process,
right.
I'm not going to share my process.
You have no process.
So, again, that's why I was laughing. No offense to Andy and Randy are entitled to their opinions. I was like, well, you know, you're covering football. You should kind of know this stuff. You know what I mean? It's kind of important. There are 63 Associated Press voters. And another reason, just to double down on what Carl said, is when we get to the college playoff committee, it's one of the metrics.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's for years, it's had a deciding factor. But that's why when we, and not to pile on this young woman.
No, go ahead.
But whether it's it could be an old fart, angry old white guy writer from the Midwest, the writers are the gatekeepers for the Hall of Fame. And there's so many people that are just incompetent,
yes,
who have skated for years, whether they've gotten beyond, Carl, the age of competency to do their job, or some person, I'm not kind of confused, how is that woman got a vote? But it's just, these are the people that decide things that we as football fans really care a lot about.
Exactly.
I mean, it's kind of a little, it irked me when I heard that earlier today.
Yeah, well, when I was reading it this morning, I was like, are you serious? Like,
so, you know, look, when I covered baseball, you have to cover baseball 10 years consecutively to get a Hall of Fame vote. I'm not doing that anymore. I feel like it's a privilege, and I shouldn't be voting for guys now just because I have that right? Because I've earned that. And I feel this way with college football, to Mike's point. There are guys, if you're not covering the game, if you're not going to these games, if you're not doing the process, you shouldn't have a legitimate vote. Put people in there who are paying attention.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Put people in there who do care about it so that it makes the process valid. What she just told us makes this process invalid.
Right.
It is, what the hell are we doing this for?
Right.
I wake up late, and I'm not going to share my process. You don't do anything.
Right. And she actually said, well, it all evens out. 63 votes.
Ridiculous.
So you're 163rd of this equation, and the Florida Gators are horrible, and you have no idea what you're
right.
You move them up. You didn't move them out of the top 25. So, yes.
Or move them down.
Just
you
do something. So you just didn't know what happened, basically,
don't
is what happened.
Yeah. Don't do
just
that.
Just say it.
Don't
All right,
that.
Last one. I blame you. I blame you.
Me. Okay.
And I even blame you, Gordon.
What did G-Money do?
Cam Reddish is leaving the NBA and signing with the team in Lithuania.
Have you seen the ladies in Lithuania?
Is he really?
He is, according to
taking
reports,
his ball and going to Vilnius. Yo, man, I'm out of the NBA. I'm going to be balling on the Baltic.
Oh, my goodness. What happened? What's going on?
You guys gave him too much of a hard time.
We didn't. We?
He wanted the
– Us. He wanted the ball. Was it Coach Bud? I forget how many coaches ago it was now.
No, it wasn't
what
Bud.
What a loser.
It was Lloyd Pierce. That's right.
Right. Don't blame me. I had nothing to do with this. But, yeah, it was Pierce, and he wanted to rock, and they said, well, screw you, and they sent him to hell, which is playing for Tom Thibodeau.
They did. Yeah.
And that lasted about a New York minute.
Right.
And then wasn't he with the Lakers?
He was with the Lakers. Yeah,
okay.
I think that's where he was last, I think.
Okay.
Look, man, I'm not going front on Cam. I saw Cam. I think he still got a spot here. I saw him last year. He came through to a Skyhawks game. Mm-hmm. And he was hanging out, and it was cool. Like, he was fine and in good spirits because, again, he was still making that NBA money. Where is he going?
Going to Lithuania.
Lithuania.
I've been to Vilnius. It's popping.
Yeah.
I tell you.
Okay. All right.
Here's what's crazy, though.
Remember, Hawks fans, how hyped we were draft night when we got Cam and DeAndre Hunter?
We got DeAndre with the fourth pick, and that was the part of the trade with the Mavs.
Wow.
Cam Reddish at 10. You and I were at State Farm, remember, for the draft party. And, like, holy cow, we got a guy from Duke, and we got a guy from the national championship.
That was Schlink. Schlink drafted both of those guys. Yeah. And it was funny because he came on our show, I think, the day or so before, and he said, who do you guys want? And we were like, Hunter and Cam Reddish. And they literally drafted both. And so we thought that was going to be a lot more. Look, the Hunter thing took a long time to develop to what it should have been. Wish him luck in Cleveland now, but all right. Cam, go do your thing, man. And where, Lithuania?
Lithuania. Wait, right.
By the way, I'm not a great draft.
Come on, Steve.
Not a great draft. If you're looking for, well, who should we have gotten? After Reddish, Cam Johnson, P.J. Washington out of Kentucky, then Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero would have been the play, shooting guard. Of course, with the Heat, he's had a great career. After that, you go all the way down to 28 and Jordan Poole. Not a great draft.
No, and Poole went to a great team and played a role that was perfect. Poole's not a guy that carries a squad, so that's interesting.
I must get to Zion. Zion, Ja Morant, R.J. Barrett, DeAndre. Darius Garland also in that draft.
What's Zion done recently, by the way?
What a loser.
Got oiled up and posed for some photos.
Steve Holman.
That was about Zion, though, that cut. That exact cut was about Zion, though.
It was. That's true. No, I was going to say Steve's in midseason form. Yeah. No, Zion, man, he hasn't done anything, guys.
He just eats.
Oh, man.
All right. No, he got on that diet, man. He got on that Luka diet, man.
Didn't he have a baby with a shoe model or something?
Something like that. Yeah.
Well, that was one of them.
All right, don't lump me into this conversation. I have nothing to do with Zion. I'm trying to get LeBron traded right now.
Wait a minute.
My team.
I thought it was
my turn.
I thought it was
my time.
Okay, you know what?
Luka time.
Virtual Luka, I'm done with you too. You're already trying to trade the guy to help get you there. That's unbelievable. We're coming back. Coach Roz on the way. Eye of the Tiger,
Yeah. You know, when we come back, Carl and I are going to describe our process when we talk about the Falcons. Because, you know, like, I don't know where it goes. Like, whatever.
Raheem Morris is coming up.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was just sitting here thinking, we were talking about the young lady who votes for AP. Well, really, she doesn't vote.
I have a process. I don't want to discuss my process.
Yes.
But it's like, you know, it's my thing. I don't watch anything on the East Coast, and I get home late, and I just, you know, throw numbers around.
But, you know, our minds, man, we just kind of wander around. By the way, Raheem Morris is on the way. He's going to join us coming up here. Stay tuned for that. Also, Divine Diablo.
You got to say it right. Divine Diablo.
Who played a really good game on Sunday and has found his comfort level, I think, here with our Falcons. But we'll talk to him as well. But our minds just wander, man. And then we went to break, and O played that Eye of the Tiger. So I leave the room. And I'm singing the song in the hallway, and one of the Falcons folks is outside.
Right.
And I'm like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, oh, well, we went, and I'm trying to explain. Like, well,
standing
we went to break.
Up to the challenge of our rival.
Is there another kick-butt song like that that you immediately – that immediately takes me to Rocky, right? And the only other song that I can think about is this one right here. This is the only other one. Where does it take you?
Yes.
Immediately takes you to Top Gun.
That's right, Ice. I am dangerous.
Right? But there are very few.
Would you say we'd be venturing into a zone of danger?
But there are very few of those songs. Like, you hear it and it immediately, like, Eye of the Tiger takes me right back to rock.
You know, it's funny. Kenny Loggins, for guys, if you're of a certain age, if you're in your 20s, Kenny Loggins sings this. He also sang Caddyshack, I'm All Right.
That's right.
And so the opening to Caddyshack, and you have a little gopher that's dancing in the hole.
Which is great.
That takes me right to, like, my 11, 12-year-old Mikey and Caddyshack.
So you know what's crazy about this song? When they did the second installment, this was still the theme.
Right.
They didn't go away and try to make a new song. They just kept this.
Right. And I riffed on it.
I thought it was dope. Coach is in here now. I got to be quiet. Yeah. Coach came in here looking at me like I'm crazy. We're talking about songs that are in movies that immediately take you to like that movie, like Eye of the Tiger with Rocky, or you know, Highway to the Danger Zone, and Top Gun. So that's what we were talking about. What's going on, Rob?
You know, or who was it? Was it Shalimar and Shownuff?
Shownuff. Shownuff.
You guys are bored today, huh?
That's right. We're just riffing. We're just riffing.
We've been waiting on you all day. Yeah. Come on.
Entertaining.
Trying to be. Coach Raheem Morris is here with us, guys. We're live in Flyer Branch inside the Ticketmaster Studios. It's Dukes and Bell. I'm glad you're laughing because that's what we got. We got to have some fun in this, right? We got to enjoy.
Did Coach Rye ever dance to it by himself to Footloose?
I don't know.
I'm going to say no.
I don't know.
I was not dancing to Footloose, guys.
He's like, don't put me in that. Don't put me in that. All right.
Coach Raheem Morris with us live.
Yes, Coach. Health update. Number one concern, I think, for Falcon fans, especially after seeing Drake leave. Everybody that was at the game, we were all like, okay, Drake done leave games. So this must be serious. And we were all kind of freaking out at the end of the game, despite what the income was, you know, or the outcome. Tell us an update, if you could, on not only Drake, but also Darnell Mooney, because we know he didn't play on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, Drake obviously left the game at the end there, took the hit, you know, whatever happened to his shoulder. And, you know, but he was able to practice the day full. So he was able to go out there and do everything that we asked him to do, you know, limited, but
sure.
Basically everything that we do, everything that he was required to do, we can go out there and do, which was a promising sign. We feel good about his toughness. We feel good about who he is, and we feel good about him being able to play. You know, obviously those things happen in the game and happen at a critical moment for us, but, you know, our young guys stepped up and kept fighting and gave us a chance to win. You know, and obviously Mooney, you know, was really close last week. You know, obviously I'm still saying day to day everybody,
sure.
But
right.
I feel comfortable with him. You know, went out there and practiced, got a lot of things done today. You know, he's feeling good. He's bouncing around, looking like Mooney, looking at himself. So, really excited about all those guys.
Coach Raheem Morris with us, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios. What a dynamic start, man, with your dynamic playmaker, Bijan Robinson, taking it to the house. And then it just seems like we got to a bit of a lull. Is what you expected? How would you rank the offensive line's performance? We know that Vita Vea is a force. And did you get – obviously, we didn't get the run game probably where you wanted it.
You know, we clearly talked about that as a group, as a staff, with our guys. You know, it was, you know, tell the truth Monday when you get a chance to come in. And we didn't play well enough on the offensive line. And it's not just the offensive line, around the offensive line, all of the guys, whether you're talking about the tight end position blocking and receiver position blocking, us getting our run game going. Mm-hmm. We really got to figure out that and get that going, which I know we can. Really confident we can do those things. We didn't do all the right things you want to do on a short yardage and goal line situations. We could have made that a lot easier for us, as opposed to seeing the Superman plays by Michael Penix right. on the fourth and two or the fourth and goal, whatever the case may be. We can make that a lot easier with the dynamic running backs that we have, with the upfront people playing the right way and the right style. And we got to get that corrected this week. And that's at the forefront of our mind. Make no mistake about that.
Coach, you watch the tape. Evaluate the rookies. I thought Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman balled out. But as a group, I mean, we're seeing obviously Jalen, we're seeing JP, you know, James Pierce Jr. As a group, what did you think about the rookies after watching the tape?
So, you know, when you talk about those two guys, they stood out because they were in a position to make plays on the football, particularly Watt. You know, we're almost talking about the rookie of the week with two interceptions. We miss one, they go for a touchdown. We drop another one. He made some other significant plays throughout the game, whether it was tackles or things of that nature. But you're talking about when you put those rookies out there, they're going to make plays. But when you get in position to make that many plays, you're doing something right. Mm. And Billy Bowman the same. He was a force in the box, making plays, you know, got the sack and a half, got the half a sack for us on some of his pressure things that we talked about. He was able to go in there and really fit the run for us, do some really good thing. Had some coverage opportunities, had a tough coverage on that late crosser on third down or whatever that case was. But he is everything that we thought about, everything that we argued. And then for the front people, we really had that role that we talked about, right? I mean, I think everybody in the D-line probably had 30 snaps, and it was a significant role in there. And we had top five in pressures on the quarterback this week, and we had one sack, and we missed a critical sack in that two-minute drive that would have won the game for us.
Right.
And those are the things – that was the outlying point of the defense, not even just the rookies. We had the most miss-ops that we probably can have, and we still had an opportunity to win that football game. So we can clean up some of those things, eliminate some of the miss-ops, whether it be drop interceptions or whether it be sack opportunities that we had.
Right.
We can do a lot of really good things. Not to mention, Baker made some heck of a plays coming out the backfield. Particularly on third down when he was running using his legs. You know, I mean, I think he had about 100 yards passing up until that last 2 minutes, and he made a bunch of plays with his feet on third down and long and third down and short. And those are the things we got to eliminate and stop the guys from doing.
Raheem Morris with us, guys, live from Falcons camp. And that's the thing we spent a lot of time yesterday and today about finish rate. And, you know, you always say stats are for losers. Who cares? Got to get there. But are there things you see that from the D-line coaching up or just working with Pearson, Jalen, and Leonard Floyd that, hey, because Leonard Floyd's an OG. He knows what to do. But these guys can work on it, and it will get better, and they will get there.
I think they're going to be great. You know, it's promising for me to see the people get up there, to see Baker have to move out of the spot, have to run, have to use his legs. Now we got to make sure we rush with the right integrity to lanes and things of that nature. We got to rush with the vision and the violence that's required to get the quarterback on the ground. And we got another great opportunity this week, especially with this kid coming in.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Kevin O'Connell. Your relationship, unique. I mean, you guys won big together. For those who don't know, Kevin O'Connell was the OC, you were the DC, and you guys won a Super Bowl together. Ra, what is it about him? And because, look, we watched this game the other night. he calmed his quarterback down. I mean, it went from being complete, you know, hot mess to all of a sudden his quarterback looked like he had played in the league for 10 years. And I think he deserves a lot of credit. I'm talking about Kevin O'Connell. Deserves a lot of credit for that. Talk about your relationship with him.
He should always get credit for anything that was that's required and talked about being poised. You know, you're talking about a guy that's really comfortable in his skin. And no matter what's going on around him, he's going to remain the same guy. He's going to have that same calm presence that he's always had. You know, when we were in L.A. together, that was really a major part of his role, is keeping everybody calm on offense, being able to deliver information and communicate at a very high level, which he did. And he's always going to be that way, even calm, poised guy. Got a lot of command over everything that he does. Really smart, sharp, articulate, really knowledgeable in the offense and the defense side of the ball. Like, you're talking about one of the best, and I got so much respect for my good friend, Kevin O'Connell.
Do you feel like you're facing Sean's offense, Sean McVay, guys, when you face Kevin's offense?
So here's the deal. You know, they all worked with Sean at one time or twice. And for Kevin O'Connell's chance, they worked together twice. So they worked together in Washington, and they worked together in L.A. But they all have their own little spin, their own identity, all of these guys. Whether you're talking about Zach Robinson, whether you're talking about Kevin O'Connell, whether you're talking about any of these guys that have left L.A. and gone on to do different things. You know, there's things that we've all taken from John Gruden. There's things that we've all taken from all our walks of life. You know, he had Bill Belichick that he coached him and did some different things. So, like, people that he's been around, you take those things and you acquire those things and you put them together and he's come out and become his own self. So, like, you know, is he going to be all 11 like Sean? No. He's going to be multiple. He's going to move around, get some different personnel groupings, do some different things, some different type of plays. The one thing they all have in common is they all look at each other's tape. I can take it out.
Right. A lot of, yeah, similarities.
Right. And we certainly anticipate, you know, Brian Flores trying to throw some looks at Penix. Mike's going to have to adapt to. All these games in the NFL seem to come down to one possession. The kicking situation, the general manager brings in the competition. You judge the competition. Lenny Krieg came in. We didn't feel like that was a guy that had NFL experience, but he gave it a shot. What about this week with John Parker Romo? How's that looking as far as pushing coup and what's going to take to get somebody else in there?
You know, as far as Lenny's, you know, talking about our developmental player who came in here with a big, powerful leg, who showed us something, you know, really impressive. You know, probably not at that point yet, but a developmental player that you got a lot of, you know, A lot of stuff going on with him, right? And then you bring in a veteran this week, obviously, because of the miss. You know, let's not skate around the obvious. You don't bring in another veteran if you don't have that miss. You know, but the confidence that we gained over the summer with Koo going 90% as we all watched throughout the summer, as we all looked at that, the change in the body, all the things that he did, the work that he put in. And then he went out and had a disappointing performance, right? And that starts the noise all over again. And that's the kind of noise you got to embrace as a coach, as a player.
Right.
And I talked to Koo, and I told him there's only a couple guys that go through that. Me, you, Michael Penix, and sometimes the tackle.
Right.
They don't block.
Right.
And nobody else can relate unless you play golf. So other than that, man, you got to either put the noise behind you, go out there and embrace the competition and trying to find a way to win, or you don't. And that's where we're at. And we'll let those guys keep competing.
Right.
You know, it started today. By no means is it over. But we'll go out and we'll give our best chance. We got to give the Atlanta Falcons the best chance to win.
Were you disappointed that he left and didn't talk to the media on Sunday?
You know, it's tough. You know, I am disappointed because he's disappointed. You know, I'm not disappointed with him. I'm not disappointed about it. You know, but for him, that's he's bigger than that. It just wasn't it wasn't the time for him, right? And like he had to walk away. And sometimes those things happen with players, and you got to deal with that. And I want to walk away sometimes, but I can't. You know, I have people that I lean on. I have people that I can talk to, particularly people here in this building, and particularly our owner. And right there, he didn't have that. And I feel bad that I wasn't there for him to give him that. And I wish I was there to know that he had the intention to walking away if I had the opportunity to talk to him.
You are saying, Coach, you will make a decision by the end of the week on one of these guys?
The best part about it is you got the entire week. You got all the way up until, you know, obviously Saturday. Right. So we'll take all the time that's necessary to make those decisions to find out who's going to be our kicker. And we're going to make the right decision. We're going to make it based off their performance, nothing else.
Can I ask you one more thing in regards to Young Wei Koo? It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A lot of times it's mental. You've been in this game a long time. Mechanics, these guys kick, kick, kick. It's like a golf swing, right? Is it mental? Because as fans, we're going, okay, what's the deal? And then we heard Young Wei Koo speak, I think it was yesterday or maybe, and he said, you know, I was kicking on the turf at the field, and it was just one of those weird things, Rob, where it didn't sound like he felt like his footing was right. Mechanics, mental, where are we at?
I'm not going to, you know, get into the mechanics of kicking the ball. I'm a terrible golfer.
Okay.
As you guys know. But, and it's very similar to that type of stuff, right? And how you place it, where you put it, where you slice it, all of those things. For me, does it go in, does it not? And he was talking about it, and for him, it sounds like a misstep in his mechanics.
Okay.
And I'll let him explain those mechanics and the person that coaches him explain those mechanics. I'm not even going to pretend that I can do that or know enough about it. We know the results, and that's what's critical to us. If you can fix them, you can fix them. If you can't, you can't. And the mental part, I don't think it is with him because he has the ability to articulate it and talk about it. Usually when it's mental, you don't know. Right. He's searching for answers. And it sounds like he has some of the answers. Now you got to go to apply it.
Right. As we said, it's just such a unique skill set that only one guy knows what's going on with it. Hey, on a positive tip, Pitts looked great. I thought Pitts, from where I was sitting, you got the 22 film, but looked like he was doing almost everything you needed. Was it something maybe Zach could work on? Because there's a connection between Drake, certainly, and Michael Penix, but it's almost like there's even more for Pitts out there if Mike can see him.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, Pitts had a really promising offseason, and it's hard to say it because all that we've talked about over the years, right? Everybody waiting for this constant disappointment, and it's like, if he can continue to stay in the mindset that he's in and Michael Penix continue to find him and the work that they put in showed out, it's more out there. There is more out there. But there's more out there for us in general, right? I mean, I think they threw for 300 yards or whatever the case may be, and we ran for 60 or whatever the case may be, and Michael Penix went out there in a two-minute drill and performed as well as you can possibly perform, particularly those last three drives.
Right.
There's more out there, right? There was more out there. There's a couple incomplete pass that we had to Mike that we went back for, that Mike had to Penix. That pitch that we right. went back, and we can go out there and get those things. This is why I don't do radio. This is why you guys are not.
No, you do a good job. You do a good job. Raheem Morris joining us, guys, getting ready for the Vikings Sunday night. Prime time. And you know, look, statistically, we dominated the game. When you look at time of possession, first downs.
Stats are for losers.
We didn't win the game.
Held the Bucs 140 yards below their average.
Okay, so the Bears did the same thing against the Vikings. When you look at the numbers,
stats are for
right?
losers.
So we go to Minnesota Sunday night. What do we need to do?
Win. We need to go out there and figure out how to take advantage of the miss ops and make those ops this week, right? We had about five drop picks, if you're really hard, if you're really critical. You can add it up to three that we definitely should have had. We got to find a way to get those sacks and get them on the ground, the extra ones that we left out there. We probably missed about two or three sacks. If you can make the plays and find a way to make those plays, you put yourself in better position to go out there and win. And when you talk about offense, if you can go out there and establish the run game that you're very comfortable doing and be able to get some of those things off and be able to run the ball like you need to run it and to be able to complement them with the nice passing game that we were able to put out there last week, to be able to go out there and put our normal special teams performance together, which is usually making plays for us. You know, how many games did we win last year? We blocked a punt where we recovered a touchdown in the end
right.
zone.
Not a great special teams game?
No, we did not have a great special teams game. We gave a big return. We gave a big miss and field goal block. I mean, field goal, you know, right. it was a tough day for us mm-hmm. when it came to special teams. But I got a lot of accountability in those guys to bounce back as well, you know. And it was just across the board. It wasn't just the kick. You know, we don't give up returns the way we did this game, and that happened.
Right. And then real quick, just to finish on a positive, what you got from Billy Bowman and from Xavier Watts. You touched on a little bit. Some interceptions were there to be taken from, you know, and Kate Nellis was so close on a couple of plays, but I thought the rookies looked really good.
Yeah, you've got about Devine. He was close on one.
Yeah.
We had Watt close on two. We had Caden close on a pick six. We had Caden miss a sack. We had, you know, the uncharacteristic mistake by one of the all-time greats. We had a bunch of different things go out there that could have turned out really well. But the two rookies play well, man. You know, two rookie getting those positions to make those plays is significant, and those things are really critical for our success.
Raheem Morris, let's go get one on Sunday. These are chapters, guys. Mm-hmm. All right? We can't get too caught up in it. Ra, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you soon.
That is Raheem Morris, guys. We're coming back. Divine Diablo is going to join us. All right? And we'll come back here, Flower Branch, in just a minute.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.